You're listening to Make Business Personal, a podcast for leaders and business owners who want to change the way we define success in life and business. I'm your host, Kylie Peters. All right. So today we're going to talk about sales, and we are joined by the one and only amazing Amy Blaine. She's a strategist, coach, and founder of Shatter, a sales and personal development consultancy for entrepreneurs and sales professionals. Amy also is a guest speaker in our accelerator program for women business owners, and she is going to give us the lowdown on what we need to know when it comes to sales. Thank you so much for joining us today, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Okay. All right. We're going to do this. We're going to get in and we're going to get out, give everybody what they need to know. Okay. So Amy, tell us, what are the topics that you are covering regarding sales in the accelerator program?
Well, we are covering a lot when it comes to sales. So just a quick breakdown is we're first going to obviously hit on the sales process. So what is the sales process? The question that we're answering is, what actions are you taking daily to generate revenue? And we have a very simple process, which is going to come up in one of our next questions. So we'll dig in a little bit deeper with that. But that's going to be really the foundational piece of what sales is, to make it very easy and actionable for you to do. Then we're actually going to go into executing the sales process, which is going to illustrate your client's journey and how you move people from a prospect to a client. We're going to be talking about what that pathway looks like. And also, we're going to incorporate time management and how you make sales a priority in that execution of the sales process. Time management, like lack of time, is actually the biggest obstacle that people face when it comes to sales, not making it a priority. So I'm really excited to talk about that. We're also going to talk about discovery call best practices. So you've got your client on the Zoom call or you're in person. What are the different phases of a discovery call? How do you navigate each of those phases so that you can really get the most out of that discovery call, regardless if they become a client now, later, or not at all? So I love that. We're also going to be talking about the psychology of sales. Ultimately, we're going to be answering the question, how are you holding yourself back? We're going to be talking about the three P's, which are procrastination, perfectionism, paralysis by analysis. We're also going to drip in some of the laws of abundance. So how do we shift out of that lack mindset into a mindset of abundance? We're also going to be sharing some sales tools. So how can you make the biggest impact in the shortest amount of time? It's what everybody wants. They want the sales as quickly as possible. They want to start making money. As an entrepreneur, as a new entrepreneur, how can we start getting money in the door? So we're going to be sharing like a question toolkit. You're always going to know what questions to ask depending on what situation you're in, how to know your numbers, how to create a value proposition statement. Lots of great sales tools. And lastly, we're going to go into specific steps on what's next. So how exactly are you going to start time blocking? How are you going, you know, what we talk about sales channels. So a sales channel is going to be like email, cold calling, networking. You're going to pick which channel you specifically is right for your business, and you're going to be committing to those. We're also going to be talking about how we're executing it. And lastly, accountability, which is a huge step when it comes to sales, because although sales is one of the most important things, it's how you get money in the door and you keep doing your business. A lot of times, most people, if you're human, you need a little bit of accountability or a lot of accountability to keep you motivated. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that as well. So that's the broad overview of everything that's in the sales component of the program.
So just a few things. Just a few things. We just touched on a couple of things. No, I love it. Thank you so much. That was such a comprehensive overview, Amy. And we do, we touch on so many things because sales is such a huge component to building a business. I mean, we always say without sales, it's a hobby, which is fine, but like level set, right? Okay. So sales can be a wildly complicated and scary place for a lot of entrepreneurs. What are the top three things entrepreneurs need to know to make sure they are running their business properly when it comes to sales?
Yes, excellent question. I love it. And I'm actually going to circle back to the sales process. I was thinking about the best, most actionable steps. And with sales, you don't want to overcomplicate it. You also don't want to leave out really important steps. So there's three steps in the sales process that we go over in the Accelerator program. The first one is connect. So when you're thinking about, okay, I want to be generating revenue, what are the three things that I need to be thinking about every single day? The first one is connect. The question you want to be asking yourself is, how am I adding prospects to your pipeline? I'm using very traditional verbiage. It could be how am I adding ideal clients to my database? But ultimately, who am I connecting with? Who am I emailing? Who am I calling? Who am I networking with? Like, who am I connecting with on Facebook? Like, just connecting with people. You obviously want to be connecting with an ideal client, but if you don't have an ideal client, then who is it, somebody that you admire and you're like, hey, this is somebody that I really respect that I want to get to know better? Maybe that's a starting point for you. And then it really spirals out into a lot more connections for you. So that's the first thing. The next thing is give. Or another word is cultivate. So how am I giving? And this is the piece that I see so many people overlook in the sales process, and even maybe do it a little bit out of alignment. Giving is so innate to women that it's something that in our sales process, we really need to be giving, we need to be leaning all the way into. And the question you want to be asking when you're thinking about giving is, how am I building trust and credibility and providing value daily? So what are you doing every day to build trust, credibility, and then provide value? And the one thing that I will add with this is, where I see like a common mistake is, when we think about giving, it's okay to do it, and I would even encourage it to do unconditional giving. We see in sales that it's a lot of like, I'm going to give you this, but I'm going to also ask for this at the same time. And we see it all over the place, even with like weekly emails. Like, I think about this for me, I want to send out a weekly email. Am I putting a promotion at the bottom of it? And it's totally okay that you do that. But if you do have, I would say, you know, you have your process set up where you're doing weekly emails and you're adding in like, hey, these are my upcoming workshops and this is how you can work with me. Totally okay. You don't have to stop doing that. But I would say on top of that, you would have, I would recommend having like a top 10, a top 20 of your really like people that you're like, hey, these are people I know I can provide value to, doing an extra personal outreach. That's just, I'm giving something like, hey, I saw this networking event. It looked like your ideal client would be there. You don't even have to attend with them. You could say, I have plans, but I just wanted to share with you in case it was something you wanted to attend. And you're not asking for anything. A great way to end it is, if you need help, I'm always here. Like, that's a really warm, like, you're just letting them know that you're there for them. And my rule of thumb is to do two to three unconditional gives before you do an ask. And I'm just saying this because I want women to have permission to just give without asking for something in return. That doesn't mean that you don't ask forever for anything in return, but just kind of creating that mix in there so that people are not always expecting you to ask for something in return. So that's the second thing. And then the third one is to ask or close. So ask is one way to say it. Close is another way. And I know closing is such a taboo word. Like, oh, I don't want to close. I hate closing. And so I really love the word ask, because asking, unfortunately, in sales, fortunately or unfortunately, we all have to ask for something. It doesn't always mean that we're asking for the sale, but we need to ask for an appointment. We need to ask for a referral. We need to ask for you to complete my survey. There's things that we always need to be asking for. And I was actually just listening to a podcast, a Tim Ferriss podcast today, and they were talking about this and how you implement this on a lower level is just asking somebody in your life for something. So if it's a significant other, you could ask them for date night. You could ask for a discount if you're signing up for something. So just getting yourself used to asking for things is a muscle that even if, I think this is a really good to practice, even if you're like just start, like if you're in the accelerator program, you're like, hey, I'm just thinking about starting my business. Is this something that I can do? Think about and be aware of how you're asking for things in your daily life now and how you can implement that very seamlessly into your business when you're looking to work for people, or you're looking to have people work for you. So to recap, I would say the three things are always be connecting, always be giving, and always be asking are the three things to be doing daily to be
successful. I love that. And actually, we were just talking on a call earlier this morning about, you know, when, say, cash flow might be tight, it's okay to ask for a payment plan. You might not always get one, but if that's what you need, like ask for what you need. And I know in sales, a lot of times people say you don't get what you don't ask for. So mm-hmm. people aren't mind readers as much as we would like to think that they are. But yes, you have to ask. And I love the tips on giving too, because yes, it's very much part of the building the relationship within sales. And as women, as you mentioned, we do tend to give a lot. And then kind of normalizing that and saying it's okay to give. Giving is great, but make sure you follow it up with an ask, right? Mm-hmm. We can't just give forever and ever and ever. I mean, you could, but that's not going to help your sales game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's an excellent point too, is that you do want to find the balance, but I just find people getting nervous. Like if I connect with somebody, that means I have to close them. And there is this middle ground that you can tap into, especially, you know, sales can be draining. So you might wake up one day and be like, I don't feel like asking for a sale today. So instead, it's okay. I'm just going to send 10 emails. It's just unconditionally giving. And you've at least put the work in to be able to see the rewards down the line.
Yeah. Lay the groundwork. Amy, what is the one action? If listeners right now were like, okay, I got it. She's made it concise and I get it, but I only have capacity to do one thing right now. What is the one thing that you want listeners to do right now to help elevate their sales game?
Yeah. So the short answer is time block and prioritize your sales activities. And I would say that it doesn't have to be a lot of time. I want to share kind of the methodology that I've used is the 1-5-5. And I tried to do a 5-5-5 so that it all sounded nice, but it's really understandable. So we're doing a 1-5-5. And what that means is you want to time block 1 hour a day, 5 days a week to contact 5 people within that 1 hour. So, with those 5 people, so basically, I mean, I like it if you can do 1 hour per day, you can time block and this should be, you know, whatever time works best for you, where you're saying, these are 5 people that I want to reach out to today, that I want to provide value. I want to ask for something. I want to connect. So you're implementing those 3 aspects that we just talked about. How mm-hmm. am I doing that? And who are the 5 people that I'm doing that for every single day? If you can't do it 1 day a week, maybe you're like, these aren't things that I do Mondays and Fridays. I would say a minimum of 5 hours per week. So my one takeaway is to set aside 5 hours per day that is just reserved for your connect, give, and ask.
And would you, just follow up question there, would mm-hmm. you say that that's just reaching out, or would that include like informational calls or taking discovery calls or anything like that? Or is that purely just outreach?
I would say that's purely outreach. Like it's going to fall outside of like scheduled discovery calls, networking that you have. Yeah, that's just you thinking about that 1 hour per day is just mm-hmm. thinking about mm-hmm. how am I continuing to add people to my pipeline? How am I continuing to add value? And then ultimately, how am I actually closing the sale? And again, 5 people is a minimum number. A lot of times you sit down for an hour, you could connect with 20 people. But I like that, just the thought of like you end that day and you're like, what 5 people do I want to reach out to tomorrow? A lot of times when I talk to people, they're like, it happens organically. Like somebody's messaging you on LinkedIn and you're like, oh, I'm going to respond and ask that person to meet because I know I have to connect with 5 people today. So it's not always you reaching out to them. It's you just being open to like, who are the 5 people that I'm going to be connecting with today?
And I like the idea, at least it's been helpful for me, is like, if I can get clear on who I wanted to reach out to, maybe ahead of time, then it helps me be more productive when I'm actually doing the outreach. So you're not like sourcing people and outreaching at the same time. I found that to be helpful. So take it or leave it.
That's a really good point. Yeah, that's great. I love that.
Okay, one last question for you. Now, I know you're relatively new in your entrepreneurial journey, definitely not new in a sales journey, but in your entrepreneurial journey, what is one thing you know now that you wish you would have learned earlier?
Oh my gosh. So this was the question that was the hardest for me to think about. But ultimately, when I sat with it, it was that the only opinion that matters is your own.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that I've learned. Letting go of what other people think has been ultimately the biggest thing that I knew I was going to have to let go of when I started this journey.
Yeah.
But when I first started, I was so consumed with what other people thought about me. I remember, you know, we've obviously been working together. You're so instrumental to where I am today. And I remember when we first started working together, I had this whole other idea of what I wanted the business to look like. And you were the one that was like, you have all this sales experience. Like, why wouldn't you use this? And I was like, oh, but am I really, is this really? And now that I'm here, I'm looking back and I was like, it's obvious, an obvious no-brainer that this is what I would be doing. But I was so consumed with what people I worked with would think about me. Like, who does she think she is? Mm. You know, all of those thoughts are really coming up. And now that I'm doing it, it feels so ingrained and aligned with me on like a soul level. And it almost feels like I would be doing a disservice to the next generation of women if I just didn't offer these services at all. And the only thing holding me back was really what other people thought about me. And along those same lines, making people uncomfortable is part of the journey. So I've learned that, you know, especially in these past couple of months, I've had to really make, you know, not only do I have to not care about what people think about me, but I'm almost intentionally making them uncomfortable by doing what feels right for me. And I think that's what's most powerful about owning a business and being an entrepreneur is that it really does free you up to say, I get to live a life that I want to live. And I know that's so much about what you talk about. And it's so much what's been impressed into me is that I get to decide what this business looks like. And I can take input from other people, but I can filter it through my own perspective and what feels right for me. And that's what's going to allow me to live my fullest version of my life. So yeah, that would be the thing I would say to people is like, do what you need to do. And do not worry. I mean, we hear about it all the time from women, but it's just so much the case, especially for me.
Yes. I love that. I love, love, love that. All right. Well, that's all we have. So there we go. You have it. You've got three big takeaways. You've got a big action item. And that's all she wrote. You can learn more about our accelerator program at Rix, that's R-I-X, accelerator.com. We are launching new cohorts every January and every July. And if you have any questions you'd like answered here on the Make Business Personal podcast, please submit them at mbppodcast.com. And if you found this episode helpful, please leave a review wherever you're listening. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Learn more about how to make business personal at makebusinesspersonal.com.